izquierda viene Andrés Guardado, le pegó.
USA, USA, USA. Woo, what did we just hear, bro? What did we just hear? What was that? Please, narrate.
That was
narrate it for our listeners, bro.
That was the horrible, horrible PK that Andres Guardado shot two Sundays ago now.
It was just Sundays
against ago, USA in the first ever CONCACAF Nations League final. Yes, and such a horrible kick.
Welcome. Before I start roasting my brother here, welcome back.
My Mexican brother.
Welcome back, my peeps, my listeners, our listeners, to another episode of Beyond the 18. You're here with the host, the main man, Alan Serna, and your boy, Santi. We have a lot of, like always, you know, football is always so much to discuss about.
There's always talk about. Always.
And hope you're ready for this episode, which, gotta give you a heads up, is gonna be a little bit shorter than usual, but because we're having technical difficulties here in the studio.
In the bedroom / studio / office.
The love room. Bro, how you been? How you doing?
I've been great, bro. Life is great.
Yeah? Yeah. Quick question. I hear that you went on vacation. How was it, bro?
Amazing.
Reason why we did not record last week.
Went up to Big Sur.
Nice.
Spent 4 days up there. Amazing time. Weather beautiful. Way better than what we have it right now. 100 degree weather.
Crazy weather.
Sucks. But yeah, we're here back and back to the grind, bro. I'm loving it.
Let's talk about the one of the most amazingest games that I have ever seen in quite a while. Like, I could put it in these words. This game, you know, it's like the rivalry of the CONCACAF, bro.
Correct.
You know, Mexico, Estados Unidos, you know, bad blood and everything. This is how games are supposed to be played. These are how finals are supposed to be played, bro.
Is this final way more intense than what 2011 was?
Bro, this final, I had not seen a final like this where, I mean, both defense suck, you know.
It was an offense game.
A mid and offense game that controlled both, you know. It was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The goalkeepers, because in my point, Ochoa was doing good, saving some good fucking balls and everything. And at my part, Stefan got injured, right? Gets pulled off. I thought USA's fucked. You got your backup goalkeeper, which we should look up his fucking name, though, because that motherfucker played, like, major part, bro. What we just listened to was Guardado missing, but I don't want to take it as a Guardado missing. I want to take it as the keeper stopping it, bro.
Save.
The keeper stopping it, man. Yes. Where did you see this game, bro? Where did you?
I was on and off because Sunday night, I was doing stuff for work and watching the game at the same time. So I was running back and forth watching the game. But there was not a dull moment in this match.
It was not, bro. It was not, man.
Yeah, it was a beautiful game. As a fan, we wish all games were like this.
Man, I went on and commented to a buddy of ours, you know, Squeaky. I told them this was way better than the Champions League final, bro.
Okay.
In my point of view, I saw the Champions League final, bro. I was at a bar. I was enjoying a couple drinks. And I swear that the game was not, like, as intense as Mexico-USA. Because Mexico would score. USA would tie. Mexico would score. Yes. USA would tie. USA takes the lead, and I honestly thought Mexico's gonna tie it, and this is gonna go to penalties, and it should have been. That's how it should have gone down, bro. That's how it should have gone down. Pulisic gets the penalty, which in my point of view, it is a penalty. You say that it wasn't. A lot of people are saying, but in my point of view, it was a penalty, and the Mexico obviously it was a penalty as well, mm-hmm. And you know, Pulisic converts from the spot. You know, trades the penalty for a goal. And then, you know, minutes later, handball, and Mexico gets the PK, right?
Yes, within minutes.
I honestly thought Guardado, I've seen Guardado shoot penalties. I've seen Guardado execute from the spot. And, you know, I was watching the game with my in-law, with my father-in-law, and he was just nervous. He didn't even want to look. He stood up. He's like, I don't even want to see this. You know, and I told him, don't worry. It's Guardado. You know, Guardado's not going to miss. And I'm telling, you know, my little brother-in-law, I'm all like, he's going to kick it top, like, from the spot of Guardado, his top left. You know, I'm like, he's going top left. He did go left, but it was way too centered and low.
Too centered and low.
Shocking,
that's,
right?
My dad's always taught me the worst shot you could do in a PK is in the center.
It's, no, like,
even if it's center, a little, like, even like, if it's a little, like, off.
Yeah.
It's the worst shot because you're just giving it to the goalkeeper.
The way that I see a penalty, if you're going to kick it in the center, you cannot kick it like a finesse. That's what Guardado tried to do. He tried kicking a finesse. Like, I don't know if he tried to go bottom left and he couldn't put that much finesse on it. Because power, it had no power, bro. Because if it would have power, that thing would have gone in. See, what I've known from shooting from the spot is if you're going to go center, it's either you have to blast that motherfucker. You have to blast it, yes, in, not, yes, finesse it, you know. You have to go from the exterior of your foot, almost three fingers type of thing, and then just ram it, follow through. Not stop halfway or anything. Follow through all the way, you know.
All the way. Yeah.
And he did not do that. And in my point of view, I was shocked. I was shocked, bro.
Yeah.
Happy, but the shocked.
The goalkeeper's name is Ethan Horvath.
Where does he play? Some MLS team, if anything.
He plays for, let me see, current teams, Club Brugge.
Oh, Brugge. That's a Belgian team, bro.
Yeah, Club Brugge.
Yeah, that's a Belgian. Okay, see, I swear, this USA, I was pleased with the USA squad, except defense. You know, USA has amazing young talent, bro.
Uh-huh.
And they're only going to be getting better from there if they keep at the momentum that they're under clubs. And they don't make, their agents don't give them into wrong teams, you know, because agents play a big part. You know, they're just looking after the money. They're not looking after the player's interest.
Correct.
You know, so if their agents guide them to the right teams, right path, right systems, USA has for days, you know. Because I think Mexico's biggest problem is that they're still basing off on old players that were, you know, that, like instead of focusing on their, because Mexico has, for me, the Mexican stacked national youth team are stacked in youth, bro. They have been world champions U7, U18. You know, the Olympics, it was a youth squad.
Correct.
You know, they have been champions, I think, from Mundiales and like the U18, U20 or
and
something.
And they could possibly win gold medal again this year.
But then what happens is that Mexico rather give it to older players that, you know, are on their way out. And what happened today,
two of the names that are known,
and what happened now is that you had an experienced old, like, average aged Mexican national, you know, team, when, against, you know, when, like, an unexperienced,
you know, when youth. I would have changed, because that Mexico does have that issue. Most national teams now, they don't go for experience, they all use youth, because that's what football is now.
Mm-hmm.
I would have changed that entire, Mexico's one of the few that still do that. I would change that whole game after the embarrassment that Chile put them through in Copa America.
Bro, I feel
that 7-1.
That's a different discussion that maybe we should get into, because I mean, sheesh, it's like talking about like Brazil 7-1 against Germany, right?
Correct.
And the World Cup, okay. Copa, it was a Copa America, that Centenario one, right?
Centenario.
Like, Mexico was invited, you know, as always, like an invitational.
And they went to the final.
And for them to lose 7-1, I see not much more as like, oh, Chile was superior, but I see much more like a Mexico that was not united. But that was when Osorio had him, right?
Yes, Osorio.
But Osorio was never like a solid team.
Osorio was always was like every switch game, yeah, was a different formation.
Fucking, he played like what? Like, he was in charge of like 20 something plus games, and he had 20 something different lineups.
Every single lineup was
every
different.
Every single lineup is, I mean, you can't do that. So I don't blame that. But I see now is that, okay, Mexico loses this, because to me it was a fucking important game, bro.
Correct.
It's a final, a new tournament.
Every game, bro, is important.
And it's like the final that every CONCACAF, it's the one that makes money, USA, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, you lose that game and everything, and yet you go, and I saw the commentators, I saw people, talking about, we need Chicharito, we need Carlos Vela. Bro, that's taking, like I told my little brother-in-law, I'm like, bro, that's taking two steps back. You lose this game, yeah, you don't have no force, but you need to start thinking, how the hell am I going to replace a Raul Jimenez? How the hell am I going to get an ace killer like Raul Jimenez in there? You don't go back to Chicharito, who have had, like, for the past 3-4 seasons, trash-ass seasons. And just because he's having, like, okay season in the MLS, just starting right now, you're thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to take him to... Nah, bro, like, Carlos Vela does not want to play there.
This game wasn't the... This game, I didn't see it as this loss, I didn't see it for Mexico as a thing of a lack of players or anything, because both sides played a beautiful game. Both sides, it was just of who wanted it more.
Look, to be honest, and I saw the game different. You know, both teams played great, mm-hmm. But can I tell you this? Mexico had it to end it, to finish it, if they would have had an ace striker or killer. Tecatito did amazing. Lozano did amazing in the wings. Antuna was trash. I don't know what the hell he was doing there.
Maybe even having and done a couple...
I would have put Linus in, bro, to be honest.
You wouldn't.
I would have, like, starting off.
Oh, that's I was going to bring that point.
Maybe, yeah, but you play Antuna.
Honestly, bro, I think Antuna is an overrated player.
He is.
He's super overrated. He had a good season.
He could be good, but... The hype on him is way too much, bro. I think Linus is a better winger or a better attacker. Yes,
he had one good tournament with Mexico. I'll give him that. Antuna. That was it. Because even then, once he went to Chivas, doesn't do much and whatnot.
Because look, so, this Mexico squad, in my point of view, is bigger than this USA squad. So my only thing is Mexico should fear, though, because even though you have... players that play in Juventus, all of them play in Europe, but they're not, they're like, the only one that is known would be Gio Reyna and Pulisic didn't really do that much besides that penalty. Pulisic wasn't playing at his A game when he's with USA, he never does. Gio Reyna, amazing performance, but other than that, all the rest, like, if I was Mexico, I should worry, because if this USA keeps this, if this USA, like, averaging, like, what, 22 years of age, did this to a Mexico that it's experienced and has good players like Tecatito, like Lozano, like HH, you know.
This game on paper should have been a massacre.
I wouldn't say massacre, but I would say a Mexico comfortable win. And it wasn't like that. And Mexico should worry. And I'm telling you, because you're a Mexican fan, you like analyzing squads and teams. Mexico should be worried, because this USA squad is here and they mean business.
Sure do.
You know, I swear that I thought Guardado was going to tie this game up, go to penalties, USA choking on penalties because of the lack of experience, the pressure, but no. You know, they handled, Pulisic came through when he had to score. I honestly thought he was going to miss. I told my little brother and I'm like, Pulisic has been playing trash. His confidence is low. His momentum is not big. He's going to take the penalty, the pressure, and I think he's going to miss it. You know, because that's how I saw it. Because his whole game, he was dominated. He didn't do much. He didn't let him do much.
But he came through.
And then you have Guardado coming off the bench. You know,
experience.
He has shot in decisive games. You know, he's a leader and everything. And then I'm like, you know, he's going to, that's an easy score. 3-3 penalties make this game sick. He missed. I was happy. Like I said, this game could have been a coin flip. Mexico should have been proud. They played a hell of a game, but they should be worried, because USA, damn, bro. That's all I have to say. Damn.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, because even for a few years, USA had a bit of a dry...
Bro, they didn't even qualify in the last World Cup. That's how bad it was.
They were pretty dry.
That's how bad it was that the USA did not qualify for the 2018 World Cup in Russia.
Yeah. And it's going to become a force to reckon with on this side of the hemisphere.
I hope so, because I mean, Mexico needs challenge, bro. Mexico is just a dominant force.
And because they've dominated the CONCACAF since maybe 2002,
bro. More when
USA, I mean, the 2002 squad, 2006 squad of USA still gave Mexico a run for their money.
I mean, the only thing I can remember in 2002, bro, or was it 2006, was USA eliminating Mexico in the fifth game. In the World Cup. In 2002, and the World Cup. That was fire, bro.
2006, it was Argentina.
The only time that they have faced each other in a World Cup, and it was round of 16, and Mexico and USA clutched 2-0, but, I mean, USA had some stacked players, too. Yeah. Dempsey, Donovan. Donovan. You know, like,
Howard.
Howard, Reyna's dad, bro. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, it was an overall... Ladies and gents, the game was beautiful. It was a pacey game, back and forth. No team was giving in.
Nope.
The defense, both were trash. Both defense, yeah. Centrals, bro, they were trash. Players that I would say stood out from the Mexican side, bro.
Linus.
Diego, starting players, I would say Tecatito, Lozano. Even though he fucked up in the penalty, El Chaka.
Oh, El Chaka.
And Ochoa. And for USA, bro, I would say the goalkeeper who came in as a sub, Gio Reyna, Sergi Dest, and that other player that comes from, he plays CM from Juventus, bro, youngster.
Oh, okay, I know who you're talking about.
Them, bro, yeah. They were just going at it. It was a fun game and very intense. Well-deserved victory. Like I said, whoever won that game, it was well-deserved.
Who was more hungry?
Yeah, well-deserved. Well-deserved. Mexico's players should be held up with their heads up high. They gave it their all. They didn't give in. Never did they, like... They never aflojaron, you get me? Nunca aflojaron. They were like, I'm going to stick to the end. Overall, one of the best games I have seen in a long time, bro.
Yeah.
In a long time.
By far.
But introducing that and talking about international.
Let's go a little bit more south.
Let's go south, bro. What's happening right now?
Yesterday was the beginning to kickoff. The Copa America. And it began with Brazil, Venezuela.
Now, tell me this. Did you know or do you know that they moved it? Because it was going to be in Argentina, the Copa America. And now it's being played in Brazil.
In Brazil.
COVID restrictions?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, does this... give Brazil the upper hand? Because every time that a Copa America is played in Brazil, they haven't lost it.
If it gives Brazil the upper hand and it gives them the same pressure at the same time. Because for me, I don't think Brazil has been the same force to be reckoned with for a bit of some time now.
I agree to disagree.
Because honestly, I'm at the point where I feel like other national squads don't even fear Brazil anymore.
To be honest,
that's how I see it.
After since Brazil, maybe in World Cup competition, going up against European giants, they will lack because on it. But it has always been that way. But in South America, bro,
because that 7-1 loss,
okay,
totally.
But look, check this out. Let's talk about FIFA World Cup qualifiers in Brazil are like ramming, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like. Consistency, goals, clean sheets, you know. And now they're the only team. Argentina tied today. Colombia won 1-0.
Barely.
Against Ecuador. Uruguay plays tomorrow, no?
Paraguay played today.
What did they do?
They won 3-1 against Bolivia.
Son of a bitch. I have Bolivia in La Quiniela. But okay, Paraguay, convincing win. They were down 1-0 when I stopped watching it. Penalty. And, I mean, Brazil 3-0. Playing amazing, bro. Playing amazing. Let's talk about Brazil, man. They have up top Richarlison, who for me did not perform what he could perform. The forward from Everton. But, bro, Neymar, man.
Yeah.
Neymar played a hell of a game. The only thing is that he's becoming a Vinicius or something's haunting him that he literally does everything and he misses.
Except the finish.
He's finishing, bro, which is rare. But I mean, other than that, he created plays, opened up spaces, you know, his magic, dribbling skills, everything. He was just amazing. This Brazil, I feel like, They're gonna win it, bro.
They're gonna win it.
I see it.
They are. Even though they may not be the squad of once upon a time, they're still the biggest, strongest squad in CONMEBOL.
Now let's talk about the Messiah, bro, and his squad.
Messi.
Blanco? Oh. I thought you were about to say Chicharito. He's playing. Messi in Argentina. Yes. Which I still feel, other than that, sick as goal he scored today, free kick. I think it was like 24, 25 yards out. Curls it perfectly. Masterful, bro. I don't see an Argentina. I see them, like, you know, getting to a final, pero panzazo, bro. I don't see them firm.
Argentina?
Mm-hmm.
It's a two group tournament, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 5-5.
5-5, and then four
teams pass through,
four, right?
The top four of each
group,
pass to the next round, which would be knockout stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro. Argentina, yeah, definitely a final.
I predicted contender. Brazil. Argentina.
Versus Argentina. I mean, that would be the dream final, right? For Copa America, as every South American would dream of. Yeah, fair enough to say. Has to be. But I don't see Argentina winning it.
I mean, either. I do not see Argentina winning it.
But I think plenty of times we said in this podcast that the winning squad should have a walk in the park, but never do.
Exactly. True. We suck.
We suck at being forecasters.
Yeah, seriously.
But it's you just don't know, bro. Because a final standings don't matter anymore.
Maybe we're getting too ahead of ourselves talking about a final.
You know, but
let's talk about like the matches that I mean, Chile. They don't have a strong squad, but I mean, what I notice is that these competitions, bro, they give it their all.
Mm-hmm.
They give it their all. I mean, I see. I haven't. Uruguay, I think, is going to debut tomorrow.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The Copa America is the oldest tournament in football history, right?
No. The FA is.
Oh, is it the FA Cup?
Yeah, the FA Cup is like the first one and the oldest.
No, I mean like the national.
Oh, international? Isn't it the world? No, I think it's a Copa
America. It's Copa America. I believe it's the oldest.
National, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Pretty sure, yeah.
So, it's pretty important tournament.
Oh, very, bro.
You know?
Very, very, very. Just like the Copa Oro is, just like the African Cup Nations.
Now, the winner of this tournament gets a spot in the Confederations Cup,
always,
correct?
Always, yeah, always.
It's, yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why it's like a big tournament, you know. You want to go to the Confederation Cup. You want to win it.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the following matches that we have would be... Up next would be June 17th, which would be this Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
This Thursday. Now... The thing that I don't get about this tournament is that it's 5-5 on each.
Yeah, they play each other four times, one time each. So they play a total, I think, of four games.
Ah, perfect. There we go.
Four games.
How does the 10 work? Yeah.
Four games each in the group, and then placement 1-4 advances. I'm guessing first place of group A faces fourth place of group B. Second place, you get me, like vice versa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
First versus fourth, second versus.
Yes.
Third.
Yes, I get you. Okay, yeah. I mean, but for Thursday we have Colombia, Venezuela.
Did Uruguay play already, bro?
Uruguay?
Yeah.
No, they play Thursday.
They play Thursday?
They play this Friday. Sorry, they play Argentina.
Oof.
They play Argentina. So. Every certain game, one of the clubs gets a break, right?
Yes, sir.
One of the teams. Mm-hmm. That's why I was mixing up, because 5-5, I'm like, so that means that every
like a
two
bye,
match,
bye,
every match, yeah. Everyone gets a bye.
Yeah, bye.
So it's a long tournament then, in terms of matches, but they have like very small breaks.
It's they did it. Yeah, small breaks. Yeah, because it's in a
two day breaks.
Yeah. You know, that's the beauty of these tournaments, the World Cup, the Copa America, the Gold Cup, you know, the Euros, all that. Like, that's the beauty of it. But, that match should be good, Argentina-Uruguay.
I remember Uruguay, bro. Even a few years back, they were They're one of the top dogs.
But the Loco Abreu.
One of the top dogs, bro.
Diego Forlán, bro.
I remember South Africa, how I really thought they were going to take that World Cup at one point.
See, the problem with Uruguay, bro, is that they have produced six squads, but I never see them like now. Back in the day, yes. You know, I think they're the first World Cup contenders. You know, they're the first ones.
They won the first World Cup.
So, but now as the game, evolved and everything, Uruguay does play beautiful football, but I don't think it has the pace or the game to keep up with the bigger squads, bro, from Europe or even Brazil, you know, because Brazil, you could say no matter what, but Brazil has, for me, will always dominate the Conmebol, bro, South America.
Oh, yeah.
Brazil will always dominate it. And when it comes to European football has surpassed, bro, South American football by miles. That all the big names.
I remember there was a time when people would say, "I want to send my kid to play in Brazil."
Oh hell, bro! Brazil was the capital of football.
And now it's like I want to send my kid to Europe.
To Europe, bro. The best academies are over there and everything, man. And Uruguay just can, if they can't compete with Brazil, Argentina, like. I mean, they struggle to. They could compete, but they struggle to. I don't. Against Europe. That's why I never see them as a favorite in the World Cup.
Why I love the Conmebol so much, bro, is that besides Brazil and Argentina, from there on out, you don't know who goes to a World Cup.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty level field.
It's. I mean, you got teams like Bolivia, Paraguay
didn't go.
Ecuador, you know, like. Chile didn't even go to the last World
Cup. Paraguay and Chile, they were the surprises of last World Cup because they were always the national clubs to go.
Yeah. I mean, soccer general has had, because I think the only one that is written and you could, it would be a big time shocker, which it was, is the CONCACAF. CONCACAF is always Mexico, USA, Honduras, and Costa Rica, bro. That's
correct. It.
And USA missed out last time. It was Panama, first time debuting anything in the World Cup. You know,
The ones that took out the U.S., right?
I think so.
Panama.
I think so, yeah, dumbasses. But that was a USA squad, bro, that was struggling. They didn't have no solidarity football.
Correct.
You know, but, the Copa America, for me, is one of the most exciting tournaments to see. You don't get bored, because even small squads like today's game, Bolivia, Paraguay, Jesus, 3-1, one red card, one penalty, you know? But that doesn't take it away what great competition is, and we should talk about next, the Euros, bro.
The Euros, bro. Yeah.
Which is playing at the same time. It's amazing, you know.
They both started over this weekend.
Because thank you, pandemic. The good thing they brought. You have the Copa America, your Euros, and the Copa Oro, and the Olympics all in one fucking summer, bro. Jesus. Correct. Spoil as much?
Yeah, so let's see the games that have happened.
Let's talk about the games that are going to come, bro. The football gods smile upon us. We must have done something right to...
Group F.
Group bro, F. Jesus.
It's that one.
Kick it up tomorrow, bro.
We could even talk about Group F on its own.
Yeah, bro.
That is the tournament. Group F.
Sheesh.
Group F, for those who don't know, I hope everyone knows.
I dare you to predict who's going to come out
France,
on top.
France, Germany, Hungary... And Portugal.
Hungary's going to take it top of the team.
Get the heck out of here, brother. Now, first place is going to be France. France, I feel they really are...
France, for me, are in a final, bro. France,
wait, for me, France, they truly are showing that they're the well-deserved World Cup champions.
Oh, yeah,
bro. Well-deserved. They deserve that title with the way they've been playing. The squad they have.
Fire,
I see. It's hard. I see France, the team to beat in any international match.
I dare say that the final is gonna be two teams from this group, and it's gonna be Portugal, France again, bro.
Yes.
Rematch of the 2017 Euro final that it was thanks to Sanchez, right? That scored that in the extra time.
Yes.
Renato Sanchez?
When Ronaldo became the second DT.
being all scandalous. Come down, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Kickoff tomorrow. France, Germany is or Portugal, Germany?
Tomorrow, let's see.
The kickoff of this group.
Tomorrow, France, Germany. It's France, Hungary. France, Germany, sorry.
Jesus.
France,
bro.
Germany. Yeah. France, Germany. And then
who takes it?
Oh no, sorry. Hungary, Portugal plays at 9 a.m.
Feel like Portugal's gonna win by the bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
Yeah,
1-0.
Like 2. Yeah. Unless Cristiano Ronaldo comes up. He comes likes out. Scoring against small teams.
They even have a great squad, let's be honest.
Portugal?
You know? Bruno Man. Fernandes.
That's my favorite player, even though he's a United player.
What's this guy's name that plays for
Joao
Felix, amazing. I mean the dude that plays for Juventus as well. What's this guy's name? He has the curly hair.
To be honest, bro, I don't curly hair. Portuguese plays for Juventus. What position?
Let me see. I'll find him right now.
Do it.
Because we have, let's go to the list. They have Cristiano Ronaldo, Beast. Bruno Fernandes,
Beast.
Diogo Jota,
Beast.
Pepe, Joao Felix, Ruben Diaz.
Beast. Ruben Andres Diaz Silva, is a beast, bro. Andres Silva.
Bernardo Silva, Nuno Mendes, Joao Cancelo, Renato Sanchez, Eder, Pedro Neto. Neto, bro, that kid is something else. With Wolves, the way he had the tournament he had, the season he had. Ruiz Silva, Ruben Neves, Anthony Lopez, William Carvalho, Duarte, Oliveira, Palnina, Fonte, Pereira, Rui Patricio, Rafa Silva, Trincao, Moutinho, Suárez,
bro.
Luis Neto, Bruma, Goncalves, Sa, Semedo, Guerrero, Gomez.
You sure he's a Juventus
Beto,
player?
Maybe I got it wrong. Semedo, Sequeira, João Mario, Guedes, Pizzi, Domingos, Rui, Paulino, Dalot, Podence, Paciencia, Ferro, Varela, Carrico, Sosa. I may have been mixing up the dude.
Either way, mixed up or not, bro. Portugal
Jota. It's Jota, right?
No, Diego Jota plays for Liverpool, bro.
Okay.
That was a little monster, bro.
Should be a very close match between them and Hungary. But what do you see in France, Germany? What do you see?
Bro, man. I'm even scared to predict. On that game.
Is it a close or a big gap?
You know what? It's a fucking coin flip, bro. It could be France
because Germany is in a bit of a trouble right now.
Exactly. Didn't Lau left? He bucked it or he's still there? He bucked it, right?
Yeah, they have someone else.
Okay, so I feel this France is coming fire. Jesus. Griezmann, you know, Pogba.
If only Griezmann could
Kante.
do what he does in Barcelona.
It's the reason, you know why though, right? Because he's in France, he doesn't play out of position. He plays as a striker or a center forward.
Yeah, which is his natural game.
Which is his natural game. You try to force him to play as a wing. He doesn't perform at his 100, bro. You know, so I mean, Germany has a fire squad. They always have, but can they control that fire squad?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean, first games, bro. Some have been murder, but not really surprising. Which games were murder?
You're going up the world champs, bro.
We had Italy. Italy beat Turkey 3-0.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you heard that, that was dogs.
That was dogs. Yeah.
Y no el perro Bermúdez.
Wales 1-1 against Switzerland.
That boring game.
Yeah. The unfortunate mishappenings of Finland, Denmark, as those are known.
Let's talk about that, bro. A lot of people, you tagged me on it, right?
Correct.
That Ericsson has cardiac arrest. He's publishing from their how do you call it, medical staff, that he had passed away.
He was dead.
Before they resuscitated him back, right?
Correct.
So, all right. If they suspended the game, I think it should have done suspended it at all. Ended as how the score was. That's it. You know, but why? If they're gonna continue playing it, why not wait for Eriksen to leave and then continue playing it instead of long ass break? And then you're going to bring them back up after, like, what, like an hour and a half? And have them finish the game? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really weird. And then you tagged me today that it was UEFA who pressured on Denmark that if they weren't going to play, they were going to forfeit the game.
At a 3-0 cost.
Why? Answer me that why. Tú que todo lo
sabes y nada lo inventas, ¿sabes? That's dirty politics. Right?
Corruption. And yeah, you were one that was like, I'm against the Super League because it's a...
At that point, the first thing that came to my head was, you know, maybe Super League isn't that bad. Where there's something away from UEFA. Because in the end, UEFA, I was about to say that, they know they have the power. And once this happens, they can no longer bust these low ball moves.
Bro, that was trash move.
If that is true, I honestly
thought that Denmark was like, fuck it, we're going to go. But I mean, okay, for me, suspend it. How do you think, okay, you're a Denmark player. You live, you pretty much, you know, you're forced to build a relationship with those players. Why? Because one, you guys have the chemistry in a selección has to be 100%. Mm-hmm. So you're, let's say like me and you playing and I see you, bro. And let's say you're a good influence. I'm a clave pieza, you know, and who else knows others. We see you, you have a heart attack. And you're in the verge of, like, you pretty much are dead. And then...
Correct. You're flatlined.
I'm not going to have a head to be like, oh, I'm going to have the mentality to fuck up. No.
Either side of the squad, you can't, you know. I don't know. It's a dirty world.
Reading that, bro, I swear it's trash. If UEFA actually did that, put that pressure on Denmark saying, you know what, you guys don't show up to play. You take a 0-3.
Did you see the match? Did you see what happened?
No, I did not see the match. I think I was at work. Yeah, it was Saturday, I believe.
Saturday
or Friday. I was at work, but I was watching my phone updates, and it said, you know, that Ericsson collapsed. That, you know, he wasn't breathing and shit and all this. I'm like, oh shit, that they suspended the match. But I honestly thought that it was suspended, but then I read, and it's funny because UEFA published saying both teams have agreed after, you know, the technico and the players received news that Eriksen was okay. And then yet again,
so they jumped ahead of the story before the story came out.
Exactly. And then after that, then you have the Denmark Football Association, you know, saying that, you know what, it's, they forced us, because I mean, they took the defeat 1-0 when the game was like pretty much level. But that, bro, football is psychologically placed.
It's a mental game.
A lot, bro. I think it's like for any athletes, you know, if that's either if you play baseball, football, basketball, you know, shit, golf, cricket, anything, bro. Mentality wise, you know, you have, that's why there's called concentrations before a game. Concentration camps, because that plays big time. Bro, you see your mate dead, and then how the fuck are you going to be okay to go and fucking finish a match, bro? Money. They knew that they were going to have to refund the play, the audience or something, you know, but come on, bro.
At that point, that shouldn't matter.
That shouldn't matter. It's UEFA. What do you think? Tell me your perspective, bro. Talk to me. Háblame,
Jesús. Well, my perspective is, I mean, that's like the worst thing you could do as an organization in the end, because health comes before anything.
Major. You know? Major.
Health is, because in the end, I mean, without the players, there's no game, right?
Hell no.
And so... I don't know, bro. It's something that puts a bad image on the game,
big time. Now let me ask you this: you as a Denmark fan, the game could have been suspended. Call it a draw. You earn a point. In these type of tournaments, you play 3 games. Every fucking point counts. Every fucking point counts. And you're a Denmark fan, right? Mm-hmm. And they now you find out that they pretty much force your players to go out and play in no condition. Tournament. And they lose by the bare minimum, instead of dropping 2 points, now you drop 3. Instead of having 1 point, now you have 0. How would you feel as a Denmark fan, bro?
As a Denmark fan. Like, let's take it as a Denmark Football Association.
Yeah, how would you fucking take it? Did they have any right to go and publish that? Were they? Hell yeah, right?
And not only that, bro, I go ahead and say the truth of what happened and ask every other single European country association to boycott UEFA and not take part in the tournament.
You have amazing matches. You have one of the most amazing tournaments that you could have out there, the European.
Let alone Group F may be a better group than what we may have in this upcoming World Cup.
And yet again, you have little shits like this that stain the beautiful image of that competition. Why? Yes. Only because of money, greedy motherfuckers, you know, that they don't care. I mean, to me, that was a really bad move.
I mean, bro. It gives proof to that one ugly quote that is known worldwide, right, of cash is king.
Exactly. I mean, when you tagged me into that, I had not seen that because I'm telling you, I get reports, but I did not see that. You tag me and I read it, I'm like, damn.
You know? Yeah, that's what I said. That was my response to it when I saw. I was like, "Damn."
Yeah, bro.
Like, how does someone have the heart to even do that? Right? It's like saying, "Okay, one of your players literally died. Too bad. Play."
Exactly. It's like, okay, you know what? A point is better than nothing, bro. And I mean, and it's, I don't blame who, the other team, who was it?
Finland.
I do not blame Finland at all. Finland, they're professionals. They would do what they told. I bet you if Finland would not mind if the game was suspended and be like, you know what, a draw each, one point. Finland would not make a fuss, bro. But it was not Finland's fault. It was not Denmark's fault. It was the UEFA saying, nah, this game needs to be carried out because we don't want to, you know, refund. You know, people could, like, fans could sue if they don't get their refund or anything, you know. But nah, they just wanted to go ahead and make their money, you know, and it was trash. It was really low what UEFA did.
What was the lowest? I don't know if you can get any lower than that. But tough to see that kind of stuff happen, bro.
But anyway, Group F, bro, we have to talk about that damn group.
Group F. I mean, it is the group of death, right? There's another way of putting it. It is the group of death. Who do you see coming on top?
That's my question to you, bro. I want to hear your answer.
I'm going to go as far as saying that France wins all three games clean.
Jesus, damn.
With 9 points.
I wouldn't even argue with you because of that. Damn, France is fire, bro.
Bro, the way they're playing.
France.
It's beautiful football.
France is fire. And if Benzema gets to click, because Benzema has his
pre-friendly game. Is he going to be good from his injury?
I don't think it was a serious injury. You should look it up.
They haven't put the lineups out. They put them out right before the game.
No, I'm saying that you should see how his injury update. Oh, okay. Look it up and stuff. But yeah, France, fire squad. Benzema comes on top of anything, bro. Benzema, Griezmann, you could play them both. You could play with a formation of 4-2 because they have Kante, you know. They could play him as a center defensive mid. And then I think they have Moutinho or something, someone else, you know, a French player.
Well, I mean, it says Benzema declares himself 100% fit.
If he could click, France has a force to be reckoned with, bro. Imagine you as a defender marking Pogba, marking Mbappe, marking Griezmann, marking Benzema.
And then you see Pogba starting plays.
Kante, bro, like, little tank never gets tired. You know.
Jesus.
I could see they could win it, you know. But let's talk about who takes second place, bro, because it's literally a coin flip. Portugal, Germany.
That's tough.
Or Hungary.
I was about to say Hungary.
Imagine they shut us the fuck up, bro. They win the three games straight.
Oh man, that was tough. But
flip, bro. You got
just because of the little tumble that Germany's been going through, I say Portugal.
Bro, we agree 100%.
Portugal, just because of that small little tumble they're going with. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they're even at that point where they may not qualify for World Cup. It's that bad for Germany. And if that were to happen, people will lose their shit.
Well, I mean, Italy didn't qualify for the last World Cup.
That was crazy too.
Right?
Them
right.
Being the second most
influential more power squad with in a World wins, Cup and not making it.
World know? Cup wins.
I want Portugal to win this championship, and I want Argentina to win this championship So I could see a Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi
final confederations.
Final in a confederations. That would be fucking amazing. Yeah.
But
we're long from that because I don't see Argentina winning and I don't see Portugal. I see Portugal advancing way deep into the tournament.
Now, would that mean that confederations would have to be held this year as well? Because no. Confederations is always held the year before. And I think the World Cup is next year.
What they could do, since it's like a short tournament, because the World Cup is being played from November to December. Remember that.
Because of Qatar.
So I think like
they. So you think it'll be next summer?
It would be in a summer and not in Qatar, somewhere else, you know. Because usually they play it's like a mini like pump, you know.
They played in the same country
that's hosting World Cup. It. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know.
Did you know the Confederations was built off of petrol money?
I'm not surprised.
Bro. It was.
I did not know, but I'm not.
It was a tournament made by Saudi Arabia. It was basically a money tournament.
When was the Confederation established?
It was in the 90s.
No, I mean that. I know that it was somewhere, but because Mexico won in 93, no, or 98 or something.
First 97. Let's see. First Confederations Cup, October 15, 1992, and Brazil is the most successful team in it as well.
Oh hell yeah! Let's play a little game before we end it. I'm gonna be asking you. I'm gonna be going through the matches that are gonna be played tomorrow, both Copa America and Euros. And you're gonna give me your prediction of who's gonna win, what's the score. And who scores? One goal from that game.
Okay. So we're going with both tournaments, right?
Yes, but I'm going to be asking you. So.
Okay, Copa America, let me bring it up. So tomorrow, Thursday, we have Colombia, Venezuela, Brazil, Peru, Chile, Bolivia, Argentina, Uruguay. So we're.
That's Friday, right?
Yeah, Thursday and then Friday.
Friday, okay.
So what are we predicting again?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to ask you, and you're going to tell me, who's going to take that match, what's the score, and a player that influences that game.
In one match.
In the match.
You choose it.
No, I'm going to ask you on the matches, you know, for this jornada that's coming up.
Okay.
All right?
Let's do it. My man, they don't have the players. I don't know players' names.
Just choose one. You can say Cuauhtémoc Blanco, bro. Fuck it.
How about we just do it? From a game that I actually know, bro. Let's just go with Argentina Uruguay.
All right. Argentina Uruguay, bro. They're playing Friday. And Group B, right? It's match day 2 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
You have David Celeste versus Uruguay.
Mm-hmm.
You have two top teams with top players going head-to-head. The rivalry on this game is... It's also intense. I mean, top notch. Who do you see winning that game?
Well, I'll be sincere. I see a tie.
Okay, you say a tie.
A 1-1 tie.
1-1 tie. Who influences that game?
Argentina has to be Leo Messi.
Okay. And
Uruguay, Luis Suarez.
Luis Suarez? Fair enough. Okay. Me, I see that game, Argentina winning 2-0.
Wow.
2-0, bro. And I see,
that's a big score, right?
Huh?
You know, it's a big score, bro, for this match.
Trust me. Argentina is going to come looking for, like, you know, they just had a tough game against Chile. They didn't do that. They didn't perform that great. But Messi's going to come out fire. You're going to have a bunch of... They have, sick-ass youngsters that could play. And I do not see Uruguay, bro. I do not see Uruguay...
Beating Argentina
or not even tying. 2-0, bro. 2-0. Oh. And for Uruguay, a person that's going to influence... I don't think it's going to be, for me, Suarez. It has to be some Cruz Azul player that's been called up. Cabecita.
Oh, López. Cabecita.
Cabecita López. He's going to be a threat. He's coming
clutch.
He's gonna be like have so many plays and outscore just like Suarez.
Yeah. So do we move on to the Euros for tomorrow's matches?
Bro, of course you know which I'm gonna ask you, bro.
Or both.
Portugal Hungary.
I don't want player from Hungary. I'll make it that simple.
Me neither, bro.
But Portugal.
That I don't even want to talk about. I want to talk about
France, Germany.
France, Germany, bro. Bare minimum or massacre?
Oh, bro, I see a massacre.
Sheesh.
I'm calling it a 3-0.
Sheesh.
3-0.
Damn, 3-0. Fuck. That's tough. Germany taking 3 goals. I mean, they have had in like recent. Newer starting, I'm most likely guessing. Or Ter Stegen. Nah, I think it's newer. Newer's going to start for sure.
Have they put the lineups? That's
fine. Nah, they put it like fucking.
Right before.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You have two solid goalkeepers in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty much old with experience, but Ter Stegen has some Mino reflexes. Neuer has been slacking off, but you see France putting 3 past them?
All right. I'm gonna go with France, but I don't see that dramatic. I see like a sick game, maybe like a 2-1, 3-2 type of thing, you know?
Okay. So 2 goals, that's enough for Germany, I believe.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
Who makes a difference? What key players?
Man, bro, I just feel like there is Germany does not. You cannot single one player out. But if I had to choose, I would choose Müller, bro.
Müller?
Yes, I would choose Müller because that fool is experienced, hell of a player, hardworking attacker.
And even though he's up in their age, he still continues to play.
That's a monster. But I would say. And for France, Kante, bro. Kante.
Really?
I would go with Kante, bro. This mother... Imagine Kante, what he could do with Chelsea, you know, having fucking Timo Werner up top. imagine what he could fucking do having Griezmann,
Benzema.
And Benzema on top, bro. With Mbappe, sheesh, man. Sheesh. That's just a force to be reckoned. So, I would say Kante, match changer, and Müller, match changer. Who do you see?
Game changer for me, this one, Mbappe from France, just because of his velocity with his feet.
Okay.
And what that kid does with those feet. He reminds me of me. Not kidding.
The little step over.
Yeah, the little step over.
The Allen trademark.
The Allen trademark, bro. But from the Germany side, I think a difference maker in this one can be Timo Werner.
Get the fuck out of here.
That little pause we both made.
The way that you said it, so do I believe you or you're fucking with me? The way you said it, bro. Like, you said it so serious so that serious. I swear, we were like, by the way, we're going to start filming next session. If you would have seen my boy's expression, he was like, so damn fucking Timo Werner.
Like selling a job.
I literally was like, are you fucking serious? Yeah. Like, bro.
I'm going to go with you with Thomas Müller just because of the hunger that dude shows every game.
Like I said, with this Germany squad, I can't choose because you have You have an amazing squad, bro.
They have an amazing squad. They're just having trouble.
Yeah, right, he's struggling the chemistry. But if one person that could unite all that is Müller, bro. Thomas Müller. And yeah, Harvitz, bro. Gnabry. Is Gnabry German?
Gnabry.
You have Goretzka. Coleman, bro. Yeah, no, Coleman's French. Never mind.
I don't think that dude you mentioned is German.
But yeah, you know, like, Germany would not choose. But if I had to, Thomas Müller, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, we're on a time limit because, like I said, we're having
technical difficulties
with the mic that my brother says looks like a dick.
sorry for the kids that listen to this.
Oh, shit. What's it called? What's the exploratory advice or something like that?
Parental advisory.
Parental advisory, bro. Shit. We're using my bro's a phone, Alan's, and it only gives us 1 hour to record. Yeah. You know, so how are we doing on time, bro?
We're right there on the limit already.
We're right there on the limit. So, you know, hope you enjoyed this episode. I always enjoy, you know, having content for you guys and, you know, being here talking the sport that we love with my brother.
we'll be recording from Mexico and...
Well, you will be recording.
The U.S. I'm going to be USA, Mexico for two USA. Weeks. Even for that?
I swear, this guy, man, the things of being a boss. He just came back from fucking vacations. And now he's going on vacations. Damn, bro.
Yeah.
Sheesh. But yeah, so next week should be... Forgive us for the quality sound of it if we do have problems, because I mean we're gonna
Facebook Messenger,
Facebook video, you know, video chat, and if we see that we're just having way too many problems, we're not gonna be able to record we'll for it. 2 weeks. Yeah. Also, we can't even do we were planning next week or next episode to start recording. So gives me some time to lose some weight, so I won't look too fat.
Yeah, good for the camera. I'm gonna come back fat. You're gonna get skinnier. Man, oh,
goddamn, what happened, Alan?
Man.
So you know, thanks a lot to our listeners. Alan gave me the good news that we're averaging like a 25 listening
20,
per
25 per episode.
Per episode, so that's really good. I want to thank you, all of you guys, from the bottom of our hearts. We enjoy doing this. We love talking football. I bet you guys do too, or else you wouldn't be listening. And hopefully, if we do like a video stuff or anything, Alan posts us up. Where are you gonna be posting? Instagram or something?
Instagram.
We should start YouTube. We should start getting ideas of creating a YouTube channel or an Instagram channel.
Yeah.
And you know, start doing podcasts too, but recorded and have feedback. You know, mm-hmm. get criticism is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, criticism makes us grow and everything. You guys give us your feedback. You want to add it in a dress? Fuck it, you know.
No.
We could do that.
Okay, De La Hoya.
But yeah, you know, we just want to thank you because, I mean, this is fun doing it. And it sucks that we can't, sometimes we don't do it like constantly as we want to, but, you know.
Adult life.
Yeah, adult life. You know, this is much more like a hobby that we enjoy doing. And we want to get better at it. So, you know, to our listeners, hope you enjoyed this. Feedback is going to be more than welcome. You know, if you want to go and talk trash on us, you know, that's what this sport is all about. You know, big time Liverpool fan, big time Barcelona fan, you got a big time Real Madrid fan, and you got a big time Chivas fan, Alan Serna, you know.
Not with Chivas. Chivas. Get out of here.
So, you know, criticism, trash talking, everything is welcome. We're not going to be butt sore, but, you know, little girls that... are gonna like, you know, get all sensitive. Nah, you know, the fun of football is, you know, the fun of a sport is if you could handle, you know, you could take, you know, that trash talk and everything and don't take it to an extremist like situation. So, you know, hopefully me and Alan could come back when he comes back from Mexico, when we come back, if we do take this little break, come back with like more content, more ideas, you know, to make the episode more enjoyable. Cause I mean, you guys deserve it.
I'll tell you guys how bad the kids make me look down there.
Hey, you know what? You should record. And if we do create, like which we should, you know, our YouTube page or anything, we should put, like, you know, little videos, you know, what happens, you know, beyond the 18, mm-hmm. you know, beyond us talking podcast, you know, like, seeing your skills of how badly you miss when you're in front of goal.
Man, so bad.
Man, so bad.
I create some beautiful plays, but then...
Just like Vinicius Jr., man. Just like Vinicius Jr.
That final touch kills me.
Sheesh.
That's when my dad plays me defender.
Yeah, there you go. All right, but so...
that is it.
Thank you so much, Alan, sir. It's always amazing doing this podcast with you.
It sure is.
So, yeah.
But with that, that good is night. It from us, and good night.